Glass panels are great, but you still have to look out the windows. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. It's Monday. It's time for Bob Miller, who is the publisher of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot. We've asked Bob here to join us today to talk about a specific accident, but also a wider trend and maybe what we need to do to make sure that this thing doesn't happen to us. Bob, thanks for taking some time out today.
Well, thanks, Paul. Happy to be here.
You have a headline in the latest edition of Over the Airwaves that says, duh, is anybody looking out the window? And you talk in particular about an accident that involved a technologically advanced aircraft, and you have some questions. Tell us about the accident that inspired this article.
Well, unfortunately, in the United States, we have about 10 to 12 fatal mid-air collisions a year, one a month or so. And, you know, these things are tragic at best, and at worst, they just shouldn't happen. But in a particular case that was intriguing to me, occurred over Boulder, Colorado, just this past February, when a Cirrus SR-20 collided with a Piper Pathfinder, a Piper PA-25-235, that happened to be towing a glider, and ripped through the tow plane, killing the tow plane pilot, killing both the Cirrus pilot and his passenger. The only ones that escaped harm was the glider pilot, who managed to disconnect from the tow line just at the moment of impact. And when I sat back and thought about it, you know, I think the only thing larger in the sky would be either an airship, a blimp, or a hot air balloon. Anything larger than an airplane pulling a glider. This is a pretty large target. And I could not help but conclude that this was sheer, outright, simple failure to look out the window on the part of the Cirrus pilot to engage in a collision of this type. And, of course, this begs the question, you know, why? Why, you know, and we're all in that situation where we're, you know, obviously we're not always constantly gazing out the window. We have to pick up a cup of coffee or turn and unfold a chart. But there are things, I believe, that all of us can do to minimize the chances of such a disastrous kind of an event in the skies.
Well, one of the selling points often mentioned for, you know, the panel technology we have available now is that it can, if it's used properly, enable people to spend more time out the window. You talk about unfolding a chart. You also have to read a chart. And if the chart is positioned on the instrument panel in front of you, and especially if your position is overlaid and moving on it, that to me seems like a better way to go than, you know, trying to find the right point on a big sectional chart that you folded up to fit a kneeboard. But I think the point you were making is that especially maybe for people who aren't used to flying these kinds of panels, they get so wrapped up in the whiz-bang that they forget the low-tech requirement to just see and avoid.
That's exactly right, Paul. I mean, you can take a quick glance, a pilot proficient on the glass, all he needs is just a two-second glance at the primary flight display. He has or she has all of the pertinent information at hand needed to navigate and to control the airplane at proper heading and altitude. Just takes a second. The rest of the time, honestly, needs to be put out the window. But then, you know, in defense of the glass cockpit aircraft that has traffic collision avoidance readouts on the panel, it's also incumbent upon other pilots, and this could very well have been the case with the tow plane, did that aircraft have a transponder turned on and encoding altitude? If not, if this was just a backwoods operation pulling a tow plane, pulling a glider, and there was no transponder operative, then that would not appear on the screen of the SR-20 aircraft. Had both parties checked in with ATC? You know, any time that we're pulling up people who are jumping from airplanes, those jumpers cannot be released until they have an approval from ATC to drop the jumpers, to release them. Was this the case with the tow plane operator? this was something, too, that that needs to be looked at. Do we put our passengers to work when we're operating our aircraft? Do we, you know, do we have them looking out the window and helping us as, you know, secondary crew members? And I even quip that make it a contest, you know, for kids on board your airplane. Give them a reward for whoever can spot the most airplanes from the air. But there are simple things that we can do. This seemed to me just to be an enormous tragedy that should never have taken place. I mean, you can say that about almost any mid-air collision, but this was a particular one that I think could have easily been avoided.
You know, it's funny, when you're riding in a car, at least for me, if the driver's not attentive to the road, I tend to find myself looking out the window more. It's funny that it doesn't seem to maybe occur as strongly as an impulse to people in airplanes. The big sky theory must get into our heads.
Well, the big sky theory, surely. Out in Boulder, Colorado, I mean, that's not New York, New York. Those are remote areas. But having flown out there, the skies are typically crystal clear. You can see forever and ever and ever. No doubt it was a freak accident, but I think for all of us who operate, let's just be sure our transponders are turned on, altitude encoding is in place. Talk to ATC. Anytime you put an airplane in the air, and if you have a two-way radio, check in with ATC. They're happy to hear from us. They're happy to provide separation services. And by all means, continue to look out the window. I mean, that just goes without saying, but it's something that we all need to be reminded about from time to time.
Bob, when we come back from the break, let me talk about the difference, the possible difference between pilots who have trained in glass panel aircraft and pilots who are just adopting it as a new feature. Bob Miller is my guest. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
This is a story of two pilots. Our first guy, the one with Garmin Waas GPS, he just arrived home from a trip, ready to enjoy a nice home-cooked meal with his supermodel girlfriend.
Chérie, viens près de moi.
But our other guy, the pilot without Waas, well, he couldn't quite make it home. Had to divert to an airport with an ILS approach. So now it's dinner from a vending machine in some crummy pilot's lounge. You know which pilot you want to be. Garmin Waas GPS. Follow the leader.
Chérie.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Bob Miller. We've just been talking about an accident in midair that happened over Colorado. And it's reasonable to theorize that preoccupation with a glass panel in an aircraft may have distracted someone from looking out the window. Bob, I guess my question for you would be this. When I talk to friends, it's now to the point where, especially if you're looking in the experimental market, if you're going to equip an airplane with an instrument panel, it's now about the same price or cheaper, lighter, and more reliable to put in, you know, MGL or Dynon glass panel than it is steam gauges. And people say, well, why would you need all that capability in a small experimental aircraft? And my point to them has been, if I'm going to spend a couple hundred hours flying this thing when I've finished building it, why would I want to get, you know, 200 hours of experience on steam gauges when anything I fly in the future is going to have glass? Is there a difference between the, I guess, distraction factor for a pilot who has learned to fly on a glass panel versus somebody who comes from decades of steam gauges who has his first glass panel?
You know, I haven't looked at it from the perspective that I think you're addressing. For an older type pilot who has grown up on steam gauges, there is a huge wow factor in that glass cockpit. In fact, I just looked at virtual display, synthetic vision, for the first time on a Cessna 206 just the other day. I couldn't take my eyes off it. I mean, that runway just displays right up on the primary flight display, and I was just scratching my head in amazement how it does that electronically. And that was a wow factor that certainly took my eyes out of the windows and down on the panel just as we were approaching to land. So certainly there is a wow factor. To the new guys, the owner of that Cessna 206, I know because I trained him from the beginning. He had never flown anything other than glass cockpit, and I don't think he was nearly as wowed by it as I was. So, sure, people being introduced for the first time in glass, you know, they simply take that as just the state of the art. For us old-timers, we have to condition ourselves. You know, if we want to be impressed, let's put the airplane in the hangar. Let's turn off the hangar lights, put the airplane on backup battery, and you know, just wow ourselves to death in the hangar until we get over it. Because once we get up in the sky, we have to look out there. We have to look out the window. And you're certainly right, Paul, in making the observation. You cannot buy a new airplane today with old round gauge technology. It just isn't there unless you special order it.
Yeah, unless you bought a Cub that was set up that way for nostalgia's mm-hmm. sake or something. Well, yes. I think there's another interesting trend developing, Bob. Garmin recently announced that for some of its equipment, it has a free online tutorial that walks you through all the different functions of it. And it's apparently not even required that you own one. You can just go to the website and download it for the G500 mm-hmm. or 600 series. So maybe we'll get to a point where people can wow themselves before they even get to the airport.
Well, sure. I mean, we can draw lots of comparisons, but I go to the local Sears and I see these big projection TVs and these wonderful crystal displays. You know, I just pass by them almost oblivious to it because, you know, they've been around a while. We've seen them, and there's nothing new. But these glass panels, they are still new. You know, we're talking about 2007 before they were pretty much universally available. And once we get through this period and people come to accept them, then I think this problem of being preoccupied and wowed by the display and diverting us from outside the window hopefully will begin to be less of an impact.
Well, Bob, as always, we appreciate your insights. We're very appreciative that you have over the airwaves. It seems to be, from the comments you receive, very much appreciated by everybody who reads it. We'll direct people to the website, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
Thanks, Paul.
You can always find the current edition of Over the Airwaves, along with links to Bob Miller flight training, on the web at www.overtheairwaves.com. While you're there, sign up to get an email each month when the new edition becomes available. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.